Tarlehurst End Podcast.
By Reading fans, for Reading fans.
Hello and welcome to the Tarlehurst End Weekend Preview, a brand new podcast for you here on the Tarlehurst End. Each week we'll be taking an in-depth look at Reading's upcoming championship fixture, discussing the team news and our preferred lineups, and also in a TTE first, talking to an opposition fan ahead of the weekend's game. My name is Ollie Allen, your host for today's show, and for the rest of the season, hopefully. And whilst I would usually be joined by the Woking and Papers' Tom Crocker, he is away on holiday this week, so I have drafted in a more than capable replacement in the form of Tarleton editor Simeon Pickup. How's it going, Sim?
You're far too kind. I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. It seems whenever you come on the podcast or this podcast that you always seem to make history after you're on the first three-man podcast extra, and now you're on the first ever Tarleton Weekend Preview.
Yeah, quite the pioneer. Ahead of a very, very exciting season, I'm sure.
I think you're more optimistic than I am. But as mentioned, this show will be solely focused on looking ahead to the weekend's game. And of course, Reading begin their championship campaign against Derby County on Friday night in front of the Sky cameras. So we'll dive straight into that one, Sim. I'll put it bluntly. After a winless pre-season, just two money signings and a Liam Moore transfer request, is there any optimism going into this one?
No, not really. But to be quite honest with you, when we go into a season really optimistic and really think that we're going to have a really good season, we tend to not do quite so well.
Yeah.
But then when we're a bit more downbeat, a bit more negative going into a season, we tend to do well. So probably you should be optimistic because you're pessimistic, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, for example, you look back at the 2011-2012 season, we just lost a playoff final.
Yep.
We'd sold Shane Long, Matt Mills had gone out as well, so two key players had gone. It looked like the team would be, like we wouldn't be able to replace some of our key players. We brought in Bongani Kumalo, if you remember him. Didn't do particularly well. Marcus Williams as well. That's a year earlier, ignore me. But everything looked very downbeat, very, very negative at that point. The season started very poorly. Looked like we might go down again, get relegated. But we all know how that turned out. So just wait for a couple of months of the season to go, see how much we can grow and improve over the course of the season. And I'm sure we'll pleasantly surprise ourselves.
We also had a collar on the kit that year, of course, and the new kit's been released with a collar on. So if you can draw those parallels if you want to. But
that's scientific, that. Yeah. Definitely.
According to the bookies, Derby are the favourites for this game. They're 13-10 to get all 3 points. Reading in 9-4. The draw is 11-5. Those are the most commonly available prices from Odds Checker, hashtag gamble aware. But are those fair odds for you, Sim? Obviously, Derby, of course, having reached the playoff semi-finals last year and Reading only just staying up on a final day.
Yeah, I think so. And Derby got some really good players as well.
Yeah.
Looking at some of the talent that's come in. Harry Wilson, Jack Marriott and Mason Mount as well. None of them are properly established, properly tested at this level. I know Wilson was in the division last year, but you're looking at Marriott, who's come up from League One, and Mount, who was playing in Holland last year as well, I think.
Yep.
They'll take a little bit of time to settle in. Hopefully, well past Friday for them to properly settle in. But if they are going to really turn up, if they really do show us what they're capable of, then Derby got a very good set of players on their hands, and not forgetting Matty Vitra as well, who I was expecting to head elsewhere, to be honest, either to the Premier League or Leeds or somewhere else like that. So they've done really well to keep hold of him. I know it looks like he's kind of just not been able to agree terms anywhere else, but if he's on the books come the end of the transfer window, then Derby have done really well to keep hold of him.
I mean, I think he was still one of the top scorers in the championship last season. I'm not sure if he was the top scorer, but he was certainly up there. Is of course Frank Lampard's first game in management, so all eyes will be on him. Of course, does that take the pressure off Reading a little bit? And obviously, there's always pressure to get off to a good start for Reading, but it will be Frank Lampard being in the dugout. Do you think that will help or hinder us? Do you think, obviously, no one is quite sure how good a manager he'll be yet?
I think it helps us that all the pressure, all the focus is on Lampard.
Yeah.
All of the build-up, all of the focus in Sky and the newspapers and everything else is going to be on Lampard. It's going to be about what he can do with that Derby team. So the pressure isn't really on us. If we lose 2-0, if we put in a half-decent performance, then no one's really going to be hugely surprised if we don't come away with a win. but it gives us the opportunity to really get under their skin, really try and upset the odds, as it were. And that's what we really like doing, to be honest. Over the last 10-15 years, you look at the most the best bits of our history, of our recent history, certainly, where we've really upset the odds, gone up against a bigger, more glamorous team, and really kind of given them a bloody nose.
Yeah, we do sort of seem to thrive sort of being having the pressure off us. I think it sort of gives us the freedom perhaps to play whilst the other teams sort of have that pressure on them. But we do certainly, on paper at least, seem to have a better chance than we did 24 hours ago after the signing of Sam Baldock was confirmed on Monday evening. We'll talk about our preferred lineups in a minute, Sim, but what do you make of that signing in general? Would you start him straight away on Friday?
Yeah, I would, to be honest. I don't see any reason why he wouldn't be fit or wouldn't be up to it. Experience-wise, he's fine for the Championship. He knows this division inside and out. Done really well with Brighton a couple of years ago as well. And although a lot of people will quite rightly point to how good he was in their promotion season, it's worth remembering that he started out when Brighton were, I think, 20th in the league in a very bad way a couple of years ago under Chris Hughton. So he knows what it's like to come into a side that's been up in the playoffs and then has really kind of crashed the following season, and then having to kind of push them on and really get them back up the table. So it's a bit of a different mental experience, but it's one that's really going to help us, I think. And on the pitch as well, we've got a lot of experience. He works hard, got a good character. I guess he's perhaps a little bit like Jan Kermigan in that sense of having experience and really being able to lead other players by example. And we need that, to be honest. We need that presence and that know-how in the final third, which really lacked last season.
Yeah, the figure being thrown about is, well, by media down in Brighton, is about 5 million, but that's potentially with add-ons. Do you think it's probably more about 2 million? Do you reckon that's probably right?
I think he said something like potentially going up to 5 million.
Yeah,
which is deliberately vague. I'm always unsure about stories like that, because it sounds like the kind of thing where someone has told them that end that they've deliberately given out the bigger figure, i.e. Yeah. The very highest it could be is 5 million, and then not breaking that down. It sounds a lot like they're deliberately trying to play up how big it is.
Yeah,
the fact that it could be 5 million. It might be 5 million if we win the league or something, or if Baldock scores 30 goals or something. In reality, it could be anything, probably 1 million and higher.
Yeah.
But to be honest, if you pay, even if it was 5 million up front, if he goes out there and scores 15 goals and fires Reading to the playoffs, then that's a couple of million well spent.
Yeah, I think that 5 million would be peanuts if Baldock fired us to promotion. But I'm not quite holding my breath. But just before we get into our preferred starting lineups, then the injury news that Paul Clement gave after the Crystal Palace friendly on Saturday is that Dave Edwards is out for about 4 to 6 weeks after damaging his knee. Adrian Popper and, surprise, surprise, Callum Harriott are both out, but they could rejoin training soon, as could John O'Shea, whilst Leandro Bacuna was back in training on Monday after missing the Palace game. Paul McShane did have to go off in that match, but it didn't seem anything too serious. Whilst it's also worth noting that Tyler Blackett is still suspended following the red card that he picked up at Sheffield Wednesday at the end of last season. With all that in mind, Sim, which 11 players would you like to see start on Friday?
I'd go back to 4-4-2, to be honest, just keep it simple. We tried to kind of overplay it last year, I think, really trying to be a bit too complicated, switching between different formations. So I'd go back to 4-4-2. Manone in goal, Yeardom at right back, probably Richards at left back, centre-halves McShane and Nelori, centre-midfield Liam Kelly and David Myler. That looked like a pretty good partnership on Saturday.
Yep.
Out wide, Barrow and Aluko, and then up top would throw Baldock straight in, have him leading the line, and then probably John Swift just slightly off him.
Yeah, I've gone with a 4-4-2 as well. I've gone with Chris Gunter and Yeardom at fullback, obviously, Manone in goal. Paul McShane and Thiago Elori is sort of almost the default centre back pairing now, if you're assuming that Liam Moore probably won't play after his transfer request. David Myler should sit just in front of the defence, with Mo Barrow and Sonny Aluko on the wings, and then John Swift in the attacking midfield role, and then a strike partnership of new signings Mark McNulty and Sam Baldock. So that's two players sort of we've gone different over there. You've gone Richards over Gunter. Do you think Chris Gunter might take a backseat role this season after the arrival of Yeardom?
I would have thought so originally, but you're looking at the injuries they've got at the moment, and particularly if Blackett doesn't improve markedly, then there's every opportunity for him to play quite a lot, either at right back or left back.
Yeah.
He's luckily quite a versatile player. I know he doesn't excel at left back, but it's good having a player who can play that role if you really need him to. And now having Yeardom in at right back and available to play there, and Bakuna as an option, the whole fullback set looks a lot more balanced. It looks a lot more like we're not going to get into a massive panic if any one player is injured.
Obviously, we've still got Jordan Ibiza, of course, to come back in a couple of months, but you've also gone a little bit more defensive than me, having John Swift as almost like a second striker as opposed to behind a strike partnership, and mainly because I've sort of seen Brighton fans saying the Sam Baldock sort of works well on the pair, and him and Nolte together sort of does make me a little bit excited. But certainly in the opening game, you think it's probably worth approaching the game sort of with a bit more caution, especially with Derby having the qualities we've discussed.
Yeah, just try and make Reading hard to beat.
Yeah.
As much as possible. Derby got some really good attacking players, as we mentioned a bit earlier, and we're going to want to frustrate them, really try and keep everything solid at the back, and we've got the pace down the other end of the pitch to hurt them on the counter if that opportunity comes up. But it's going to need a lot of solid defensive work, and I think the best way of getting that is probably just having Kelly and Myler in there as a two. You've got two players who can work hard and break up play, and then Kelly's someone who can distribute the ball and get the ball down the other end of the pitch if we have the opportunity to get forward.
We are going to sort of have to dig in, I think, for sure. I think Derby will come at us a lot. As we mentioned, with the attacking players, they've brought in the likes of Mason Mount and Harry Wilson and Florian Joseph soon. They've brought in and Jack Marriott from Peterborough. But finally then, I'll ask you for your prediction, Sim. As after being cruelly left out last year, we have both entered the official podcast prediction league this year. What are you going to go with?
I'm going to go with Reading 1, Derby 1.
I think I'm probably going to go 2-0, unfortunately. I think we'll get on to our overall season predictions in a bit.
2-0 to Reading or 2-0 to Derby?
Oh, 2-0 to Derby, sorry, yeah. I'm not overly optimistic, but I think as long as you don't go out and get thrashed on the opening day, I think certainly, as we mentioned, the pressure will be on Frank Lampard. I think people almost expecting Reading to lose. Now, as mentioned, a brand new feature here on a Tyler Stone Weekend Preview is the opposition view, where we get the thoughts of an opposing fan ahead of Reading's game with them. And of course, this week, it's Derby.
The view from the town end.
What do the opposition think?
Right then, welcome to the very first opposition view here on the Tyler Stone Weekend Preview. As we've discussed, Reading opened their championship campaign on Friday night against Derby County. So I'm delighted to welcome Rams fan Andy Buckley-Taylor onto the show. How's it going, Andy?
Hi there. Getting a little bit excited for the start of another new season. And it's going to be quite an interesting one.
Yeah, it's, even though it's only been 3 weeks since the World Cup ended, I think it's still been too long since the football has come around.
No, I totally agree with you.
I suppose the place to start probably, in terms of Derby terms, is obviously with the manager Frank Lampard being the very high profile appointment to replace Gary Rowett. Was he the right choice for you? So what been your first impressions of Frank Lampard, the manager?
Regarding is he going to be a good choice as a manager, only time will tell, because
yeah,
there's absolutely nothing to judge the appointments on. Total rookie. And anybody saying he's going to be a success or anybody saying he's going to be a failure are just merely guessing. But where I do think he has been wise, he's bringing in Jody Morris as his assistant. He's had a lot of experience coaching the Chelsea Young Guns.
Yep.
And I think that was a wise move by Frank, you know, bringing somebody in who has got that experience.
I think certainly there'll be a lot of eyes on him. Obviously, him and Stephen Gerrard entering management for the first time. So, do you think there'll be a lot of pressure on him to perhaps succeed at Derby?
Well, yeah. The type of club we are.
Yeah.
I've been a fan for more years than I probably want to go back. But if you're talking of a club that's getting between 25,000 and 30,000 a game, it's a Premier League size club. It's got no divine right to be in the Premier League, but it's a Premier League size setup. And, you know, you've got to give Lampard a bit of credit for actually going for a bigger size club for his first appointment rather than starting lower down the league and learning his trade that way. But, I mean, I tell you one thing it has done, that there's an almighty buzz about the place.
Yeah.
And people are obviously, because it's a big name, it's generating a lot of interest.
Yeah, but I think obviously when Jaap Stam joined Reading, I think there were a lot of players who moved to Reading and sort of cited working under Jaap Stam as a reason for coming to Reading. So in terms of transfers this summer, you've signed Florian Josephsson and Jack Marriott on a permanent deal. Sorry, whilst Harry Wilson and Mason Mount have come in on loan deals, and both players that Reading were reportedly interested in, I might add. But what have you made of the business as a whole so far? And do you think you've got much less to do, much more to do?
I think we might see a couple more in, but going on the ones that came in, Josephsson, I've been able to watch a few clips of him. I wasn't that knowledgeable about him. Looks a tidy player.
Yeah.
He's had a few minutes in pre-season, but nothing to really give us too many clues. Mason Mount, who's coming on loan, a Chelsea fan that I know well, rates the guy very highly, and he stated that he is the cream of the crop of the Chelsea youngsters. And he had a full season last year where I think he won their player of the season.
Yeah, he did very
Harry
well
Wilson,
last year. Yeah.
Harry Wilson, very popular at Hull City, told he did a very good job when he went on loan to them. So obviously I'm liking what I hear about him. To be honest, Mount and Wilson in the pre-season, which it's only a little taster of what's to come.
Yeah.
I've liked what I've seen so far. They look like two young lads that may well have something to contribute to the side.
I think Mason Mount was definitely one that I had sort of my eye on perhaps for Reading, but I think perhaps the Frank Lampard and as you mentioned, the Jody Morris connection perhaps coming in handy there for Derby. But looking at the season ahead then in general, then how do you think Derby will do this season? Obviously, you lost in the playoffs to Fulham last season, the third time in five seasons you made the top six, but not gone up. I hate to remind you of that fact. But is this the year that promotion finally happens, do you think?
I certainly hope we can finish top six. I'll be disappointed if we don't.
Yeah.
A lot will depend on the people we've brought in. Obviously, I failed to mention Jack Marriott there, who's coming from Peterborough.
Yeah.
He's been watched by a lot of clubs, and Barry Fry stated that he rates him higher than Britta Sombalonga and Dwight Gayle, which
high praise.
You never know how to take Barry, if that is, you know, to push up the price or not.
Yeah.
I don't know. He seems to be an actual predator. It would appear that the Frank Lampard style is going to be playing it out from the back a lot more, a more passing orientated game, possibly 4-3-3 formation. That's in contrast to the Gary Rowett style, 4-2-3-1, which he played the majority of the season. But a lot of that was sitting deep and hitting on the counter-attack. Now, I certainly think, regarding style of play, the Lampard style should be more attractive to the eye. Whether it's more successful on the result side of things, only time will tell. But I'm quite hopeful that we're going to have a decent season.
As for Friday's game, then, how much of a challenge do you think Reading will present Derby with? What did you make of us last season? Have you paid much attention to our transfer business over the summer?
I've got to be perfectly honest with you. When you came to our place,
yeah,
you didn't look a bad side at all.
I think it was 4-2, I think it was, to us,
yeah,
I think, possibly. And then obviously 3-3 back at the Madstad. So
we always seem to do better at playing you at your place than we do at our own. I mean, the famous game a few seasons ago when you knocked us out the top six on the last day of the season.
Final day 3-0, yeah. Sorry about that.
I was actually quite surprised after you came to ours and won that I was expecting you to pick up and move up the table a bit. And
so did we, I think, yeah.
I mean, I think you've got the players there,
yeah.
But I'm not sure about Paul Clement as a manager. I mean, I was in a minority when Derby showed him the door that thought it was the right decision. I think the guy's probably a good coach, but not suited to the number one role. But then again, this season, for me, it's make or break for Paul Clement to prove himself as a manager. I'm a little bit more confident than I would be normally because of knowing how Paul Clement sets his teams up.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people who are sort of pro Paul Clement at Reading are sort of citing his time at Derby for sort of the reason for giving him a chance. I think you were in the top six when he left you, but was perhaps the position in the table not quite representative of sort of the Paul Clement era as a whole?
We were very effective up to that Christmas period.
Yeah.
But results did mask some of the performances. He inherited a side that had not, well, it was challenging for promotion the year before. He inherited Steve McLaren's side, which had dropped out of the playoffs on the last day of the season prior. And I wasn't convinced. I think there was only four or five games where I could say we played really well. One was an away game at Hull City. And we'd gone on a bit of a lean streak, but to me there was clear indications that the players, they didn't appear to me to be having a great lot of confidence in the game plan, whatever it was. And, you know, I sat dozing off in the stand.
Well, I think a lot of fans sort of were dozing off to the stand of football. So I think we'll have to wait and see whether Paul Clement can get the better of his former side on Friday night. Who do you think Derby's key player will be on Friday?
I think Mason Mount and Craig Bryson, who's returned. He was on loan last season to Cardiff City.
Yeah.
I think, provided he stays fit, Bryson could be like a new signing as well. Obviously, it's going to take a little bit of time for the new players to settle in. I don't think Jack Murray will start anyway. I think Murray will be on the bench and maybe brought on for the last 20 minutes, half hour.
Yeah.
David Nugent's looked quite sharp in pre-season. He could be a key player on Saturday. But also the defence, which is going to be interesting. Only one change. Obviously, Carson is naturally going to be in goal. Wisdom, Keogh and Davies expected to carry on. But the left-back position's been a problem position for us for a few years. Craig Forsyth has struggled since he's come back from injury. Marcus Olsen is a long-term injury-absent player. And a youngster that has impressed in the past when he's had a chance, and certainly looking good in pre-season, Max Lowe. And if we can shut you out with our defence and see a bit more creativity from midfield, I'm reasonably confident.
Finally then, what's your score prediction for Friday night?
I'm going to go 2-1 to Derby.
I am pretty pessimistic for season ahead. So I think I'm in. I'm in to go on and say 2-0 Derby. So I think you'll have a good season. I think.
I certainly hope so. I hope you're right, and I wish you guys all the best. Anyway, I haven't been over to your place for a few years, but it's a nice stadium, and it was one of the favourite away days that I used to have.
Yeah, live on Sky to start the championship season off an absolute mouth-watering clash between Reading and Derby County. My thanks then to you, Andy, for joining me on this very first opposition view on a Tireless End weekend preview, and best of luck on Friday and for the season.
And to yourselves as well.
It's now time then for me and Sims to take a look at the Championship as a whole and see who we think could be going up and down next May.
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter
at The Tarlhurst End
and facebook.com/The Tarlhurst End.
Welcome back to The Tarlhurst End weekend preview with myself, Ollie Allen, and Tarlhurst End editor Simeon Pickup. Now, as it's the first show of the season, we thought it would be good to see how we thought the division as a whole will pan out this season. So me and Sim have both picked the three teams we think will go up and the three teams to go down. We'll start with the promoted teams. I'm going with Stoke to go up as champions. I think that their squad's still largely Premier League quality, really. Gary Rowett's a top manager for this division. They've also made a couple of good signings too. The likes of Ogbenkara Etebo, I probably butchered that name completely, who looked pretty good at the World Cup with Nigeria. I think Middlesbrough will do pretty well too. Again, Tony Pulis is quite a good manager, and there's a lot of quality in that side. Paddy McNair and Aidan Flint, especially two good defensive signings this summer. And finally, I've gone with Norwich. I'm not entirely sure why, but there's always a bit of a curveball promoted team in there, and I think they've bought well this summer, so why not? So yeah, I've gone with Stoke, Middlesbrough and Norwich. Sim, who are your three tips for promotion?
Yeah, Stoke and Middlesbrough are my main two for automatic promotion. I think they're the most safe bets in terms of manager quality, player quality throughout the squad, really. As you mentioned, Middlesbrough and Stoke have recruited really well. Yeah. Middlesbrough looked very good last season under Tony Pulis. I know it wasn't all the season, but he still improved them a lot from what he inherited from Gary Monk. Aidan Flint and Paddy McNair looked like two really good players who were going to improve them nicely. So I can't see them being completely out of the automatic promotion picture, to be honest. If you're looking at other teams, maybe Leeds under Bielsa, but that's kind of an unknown quantity at the moment, yeah. Whether he's really going to be able to stamp his authority on that team. They've got some good players in, but whether that's too late in the window or not is hard to tell. My pick for playoff success would, at the moment, I guess, be Brentford. Been improving a lot over the last couple of years. I know they've sold Joseph Zoon to Derby, as you mentioned earlier, but they recruit really well. They've got a good manager in Dean Smith, gradually improving, and this could be the year they finally properly break into the top six.
Interesting, we haven't actually mentioned Nottingham Forest, obviously, who've sort of been taken over sort of in a similar way that Wolves have last season, but they've not sort of bought exactly. I mean, they've bought well, and I think Forest will certainly be up there, but they've not sort of bought to the extent that Wolves did last season.
No, and they have a lot of improvement to do after last season as well. I know they had Karanka for a couple of months, so he's had a bit of time to kind of get to know the team and really kind of work out what he wants to do with the team. Impressive signing in Lewis Graben as well. I know he kind of goes all around the houses in terms of signing for different championship sides to get them some goals for a short period, but he knows how to do it. I know he failed at Reading in terms of consistent goal scoring, but did really well last season at Sunderland and at Villa. So moving to Forest on a permanent transfer, that's the kind of guarantee of goals that you really need if you're going to get automatic promotion.
We can tell you that Tom Crocker has actually gone for the same exact three as me, Stoke, Middlesbrough and Norwich. As for the relegated trio then, I've gone with Rotherham. They don't particularly feel me with confidence having come up from League One, but QPR, I've also gone for this. I mean, they've had a transfer embargo this summer, that's meant they haven't really been able to improve sort of what was an already sort of fairly average side. And even though I think I actually quite rate Steve McLaren as a manager, as opposed to other people who look particularly impressive, but I think purely on the basis of their side, it doesn't fill me with confidence. So I think QPR and Rotherham to go down. And finally, I hate to say it, but I have gone with Reading to get relegated from the Championship this season. I think I figured I would say this so then we can only overachieve. But sort of after the summer, we've had sort of the winless pre-season, the transfer window's not particularly inspired me. And I'm just feeling a little bit pessimistic right now. Sim, what about you?
So you raised the point about quality with Rotherham, which I think is a good point. But I know we haven't recruited well. We haven't had a particularly inspiring pre-season, but we've still, I think, on paper, got a better squad than a couple of other teams in the division. And the question for me is, can Paul Clement really get that quality out of this team? Definitely, yeah. You look at people like Aluko, Swift. I know they had bad seasons last year, but if Clement can get a bit more out of them, and I think over the course of the season he probably can, then we should be fine for a pretty depressing, dour 15th place finish or 16th or something like that, just at arm's length from the bottom three. My three would be Rotherham again. I don't think they've got the quality to stay up. Bolton as well have been in a bit of a mess recently as well. Had a player's strike quite recently, so there's a lot of trouble on and off the pitch there. And I'm torn for the other teams, to be honest. I went with Birmingham City. I know they've not got the same problems as other teams. They've had a transfer embargo, I think, yesterday as well, put down on them. But I do just feel that they've been on the downward spiral for a couple of years now, and quite similar circumstances to Reading. They're a bigger club than bottom three in the Championship, but they're in a bit of a mess. And if Gary Monk doesn't really improve them in the first couple of months, then they could be in a bit of trouble.
Birmingham are very interesting. I think we saw they beat Fulham on the final day of last season, so they have got that quality there. And I do actually rate Gary Monk as manager. I mean, he's sort of been on a bit of a downward spiral. Sort of, he was at Swansea, obviously, and then went to Leeds, and then Middlesbrough, and now Birmingham. So he's sort of gone four clubs in the space of sort of 2 or 3 years, which might say that perhaps, you know, he's not the best manager, because they seem to sort of been decreasing in quality sort of going on. But I think really Leeds, you can't really judge any manager that's sort of gone in there, because they seem to get rid of them so quickly. And Middlesbrough, it perhaps didn't quite work out. But do you think Gary Monk sort of, is he a better manager than the bottom of the Championship manager, perhaps?
I think he is, to be honest. But the thing about Gary Monk is that you're judging him on potential more than anything else. I think it's the same thing with Paul Clement, to be honest, that he's had a couple of decent jobs. I know they've both been at Swansea in the Premier League. Clement was at Derby towards the top of the Championship. Same with Monk at Leeds as well. But they've not really stayed for that long at any club, so you can't really judge them on how good they're actually going to be over the course of, well, even a season and a half, two seasons. Monk really needs that proper long-term success. Say, I'm able to take a bad team like Birmingham, really turn them around and push them up the other end of the table. That's, at the end of the day, what you get judged on, rather than how much potential you have. And eventually, he's going to run out of chances like this to prove himself. The same with Clement as well. Yep. It's kind of, I think it's essentially a make or break job for him, Monk and Clement.
Tom has gone for Rotherham, Bolton and QPR, so a mixture of both of our predictions then. Quickly then, to finish off, as for Reading's final position, as mentioned, I think I've gone for us to get relegated, so I've gone 23rd. Sim, you mentioned you're a bit more optimistic.
I'm going to probably go with about 16th, I think. We'll probably start off pretty slowly, have a pretty worrying first couple of months, but over the course of the season, improve a bit, maybe see some big improvements from players over the course of the season, and hopefully have a quite safe season.
That's exactly what Tom has gone for as well, 16th. So you two have both gone for the same position. I also, it's worth mentioning, Tom told me to remind everyone that he predicted Wolves to go up last season, so I think he's quite proud of that one, that Wolves didn't get promotion, but he did also back Reading to go up, so the less said about that one, the better. But if you want to read more of our in-depth predictions for the new season, there is an article published on thetilesden.com right now, covering the thoughts of a few of our writers and all of our pre-season predictions. One other plug I will give before the end of this first show of the series. The main show is also back. Came out on Monday. As Mark was joined by Ben Greenwood and Westy to look back on pre-season and preview the campaign ahead. And it's probably fair to say they weren't particularly optimistic either. But do go back and listen to that one if you haven't already. As for this show, we'll be back next week. But Tom Crocker is still away, so it might be me and you again soon.
If you must. Yeah, I'll be back after that depressing 4-0 defeat to Derby. I'll just manage to pull myself out of bed for that.
What happened to your optimism?
Well, I'm very optimistic, but I'm very realistic in the sense that my optimism tends to kind of be unfounded after after one game. I mean, I was very optimistic a lot of times last season. I thought that Yapstan was going to turn it around in February, then March. Every week, I thought it'd get better, but no, it never did.
Thank you very much for joining me on this very first show of the series.
That's quite all right. Good to have me.
Pleasure. The pleasure is all mine. And thank you at home for listening to the first Tireless Den weekend preview of the series. We hope you've enjoyed this new format, and there should be plenty more of these to come throughout the season. So here's the 3 points and our opening game on Friday night. Come on, you Ars.
The Tilehurst End Podcast.
By Reading fans, for Reading fans.